Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by today's message. We also invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go live into the message.
God's end time lexicon. Lexicon, that means the short list out of a whole dictionary of words that God could use. The thing that's on God's heart, what God's talking about. And so he said, take with you, Hosea 14:2, take with you words and turn to the Lord. You may be seated. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. What you say matters to God. And there are words that are used, but to use them at the wrong time, they're not effective. But the things that are on your heart and the things that are seasonal and the things that are pertinent, and you can use those words, the Bible said, take them with you and turn to God. Words are like weapons. They can literally disarm the enemy, and they can release the angels. The Bible talks about the keys to bind and loose. Much of that is done with words. I don't want to listen to somebody that might have some words, but they're not timely words, because I've seen that they do not create a lifestyle. The right words at the right time will create a victorious lifestyle. So I've talked to you a little bit about those two, about two things, about revive, and I've talked about recovery. Tonight I want to talk about a little three-letter word that's not very long, but it's used extensively in the Bible, and that word is joy. It's the second fruit of the Spirit, joy. In the Greek, it's simcha. It's one of the most prevalent words in the entire Bible. Together with its synonym, seison, it appears in the Scripture 400 times. It's used in every special Jewish occasion. Weddings, births, they always use this word. It was coined by the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 11, when he said, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. It is always about good things. It's about gladness. It's about the bride. It's about marriage. It's about good times. The first time it is used, out of the 100 times it is used in the New Testament, it is used Matthew 2:10, talking about this very Christmas season. When they saw the stars, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. God's word is not only instructive in what our behavior should be, but it's also what the attitude of our behavior should be. And so we are to be people of great joy. God does not want his church to be a collection of sad sacks, misfits, down in the grubs, mully grubs, always complaining, always criticizing, always negative. I told you about my friend, Brother Tuminella, that went to be with the Lord several months ago. He had a friend that was not saved, and his friend was a lawyer, and he had his first child. He was pretty old, just to be having his first child, well into his late 30s. He and his wife had a little baby, and he was so excited in the hospital in Houston. And my friend, Brother Tuminella, went, one of the Pentecostal sisters that he knew, and he said, oh, sister, he said, rejoice with Brother Sam here. He wasn't even a Christian. He's just an attorney, which makes it difficult. But anyway, he said, rejoice. He said, his wife just had a little baby boy, and this precious saint of God that had the hairdo, Pentecostal style, she was very, very holy. She said unto Sam, she said, you poor man, bringing a little child into this sin-cursed world, I feel sorry for you and your wife. It so influenced Sam that my friend could never get that attorney to come to church because of the expression of sorrow she had about something good. Remember, the Jews used the word joy, and its Hebrew interpretation of that, every time a baby is born, every time a marriage is done, they use the word joy about good things. And so joy is an attitude that ought to be the first and foremost prevalent attitude of a born-again Christian. I've told you so many times because it affected me so greatly. The two greatest statements I've ever heard is Becky Fender said, Everything in life is a decision. And I didn't know whether I believed that or not. I had to chew on that a while to be able to get it down. And friend, it changed my life. Everything is a decision. When they give you a Big Mac at McDonald's and you don't check it out, that's a mistake. Before you leave the drive-thru, but you're halfway down Pat Booker and you check it, and it was really not a Big Mac at all. It's a fish sandwich with ketchup on it. And you don't like fish or ketchup. You can do one of two things. You can get mad, get all excited, run into somebody in the street. You can go back and you can throw a fit after you wait in line 45 minutes. Or you can say, Lord, give me a desire for fish and ketchup. Joel Osteen preaches about traffic every time. He doesn't have a problem with sin. He has a real problem with traffic. He talks about it every sermon. Traffic is not my problem. Fast food service is my problem. That's my biggest problem. It's something God uses to get me to pray. If I haven't prayed, when I go through a fast food line, I will pray. Please get it right. And then please forgive me for what I'd like to do to that little pimply-faced boy that just gave me that wrong order. But we're supposed to have joy in every occasion, no matter what it is. If we can learn the power of joy, joy is not only an attitude. Joy is a weapon. Joy is something that will disarm the enemy. Joy is something that will entertain the angels. Joy will entertain good people. Do you know that sorry people don't like for you to be joyful? And if you want to walk and talk and fellowship with the right people, be joyful. Because the wrong people will leave you and the right people will be drawn to you if you become a person of great joy. The Bible teaches us that there is a cause for our joy. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted, sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry aloud and shout, the inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. He's talking about drawing water out of the well of salvation. That doesn't mean the one time you get saved. That means every day from the time you get saved to the time you go to heaven, you're supposed to be drawing water out of the wells of salvation. And he said the utensil that you do that with is the bucket of joy. You remember the woman that had five husbands? When Jesus began to talk to her, she said, the well is deep, and you have nothing with which to draw. Friend, I want to tell you the adversary wants to lie to you and say you can't do anything about this situation because you don't have anything to draw it with. Oh, yes, I do. I've got the joy of the Lord, and with joy I draw the water out of the wells of salvation. We are supposed to be excited people that are filled with gladness. Salvation with gladness, the Bible talks about. They that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. When they heard the word of God, they weren't mad, they were glad. They were filled with joy by the word of God. Salvation ought to be expressed in a tremendous gladness. Next, salvation with rejoicing. Notwithstanding this, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. You know, friend, that's a pretty exciting thing. When you realize that devils are subject unto you, because the devil does come in like a roaring lion. The devil does come in like a flood. The devil comes in to destroy those that he can devour. But when you realize that the devil can't touch you, that you're in the Father's hand, what a cause to rejoice. But God said there's something even greater to rejoice, and that is that your name is irrevocably written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and your mother-in-law with a major eraser cannot blot out your name because, praise God, it's there. It is written by Jesus Christ himself. And when Jesus said, it is written, it is written. Remember that? That's what he told the devil. It is written. And when the devil, the Bible said that the devil is accused of the brethren, he comes against you. But when Jesus hears that, you know what he says? He said, look at their name. It is written. He said, that's the reason why we ought to have joy. Our joy should not be subject to the things that happen to us, to the menial things that happen. We ought to be forever in a state of joy, because it does not matter what happens when we are in God's hand and when our name is forever indelibly imprinted on the Lamb's Book of Life. You ought to be able to say in the worst situation, I'm filled with the joy of the Lord, and I am going to draw water out of the wells of salvation. Pastor Brandon brought to mind when he was talking about the man that said, I've got a lot of seed in the ground. Years ago, I pastored a man right here in this city, and he came to me and he said, Pastor, he said, they just notified, he worked for the city of San Antonio, he said, they just notified me that my job is going to be done away with in 60 days. I've only got 60 days to work, and I have no other job promise after that. And he said, I've made up my mind what I'm going to do. Listen to this story. He said, I made up what of mine. He said, since I'm not apparently going to have a paycheck in 60 days, I think I'm going to double my tithes so I won't get behind. He said, for the next 60 days, I'm going to pay 20% tithe. And he said, also, Pastor, if you'll go out and look in the parking lot, he said, when they told me I was fired, he said, I went down and bought me a brand new Dodge Ram truck. I said, why do you do that? He said, I want to make sure that God knows I'm trusting him. And so in 60 days, on the final day, it wasn't just him. The whole department down in the city was being done away with. They called him a name and said, wait just a moment before you leave. And everybody was shaking hands, and they kept him back as the last one. And when everybody was out of earshot, they said, the reason why we want you to stay is we're not going to be doing away with you. We're promoting you to another department. Not only are you not fired, we're going to double your salary because we've got a lot of money freed up now. Friend, there is an attitude in the way that you deal with things. Even when you get bad news, it takes a lot of faith to have joy when you get bad news. But you understand that that's what Christianity is. It's the reverse effect. It's the opposite. We're light in the time of darkness. We have joy in the time of misery. We have strength in the time of weakness. That's what Christianity is all about. It's the opposite effect. What the devil means for evil, that's not evil, that's good. It's always opposite. And so, friend, you are to have joy no matter what happens to you. And it's not your joy, it's the joy of the Lord. It's the joy of the Lord. The Lord said, my peace I leave with you, but he said, my joy I send to you. How many people have received, not from Amazon, but from heaven itself, the package of joy? And every day of your life, you can get out of bed and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, I'm saved. Thank you, Lord, I'm born again. We're living in a world where they say the misery index is higher than it's ever been. I don't even know what the misery index is. I can barely keep up with the temperature and what all they're talking about now. It's a windshield. I don't know what all that means. I don't know what that misery index is, but they do, and there's the one that got it. But I don't have a misery index. I got a joy index, and I know what it is because I've got it. Praise God. It's the joy of the Lord. It's singing when I don't feel, when I shouldn't feel like singing. It's rejoicing when I shouldn't feel like rejoicing. It's saying, I don't know why, but I just feel like praising the Lord. Did you get a good report? No, I got a bad report, but I feel like praising the Lord. I just know that the Lord is going to turn this around. It's going to be the greatest testimony of my life. Woo! It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so the Bible teaches us we ought to have the joy of our salvation. That's the one thing the Lord delivered me from. I thank God for the things I learned as a young boy in various churches. But one thing God delivered me from, and it was the misery of being saved. I know some people that are saved, but they're just miserable about it. They feel like because they're in this world, it's just a miserable existence. Not me. I think it's pretty great. When you're in a world that doesn't understand you, but you have been now infected with the power of the world to come. The Bible teaches us that you are an heir of His inheritance, that you're eyewitness of His majesty, that you now have received His divine nature. And what affects the world doesn't have an effect on you. You live above and beyond. You are a unique person, a new creature, a new creation, a brand new DNA. You didn't get your DNA from your grandpa or your grandma or your mama or your daddy or your siblings, praise God. You have got a DNA from Jesus Christ Himself, and that DNA is the DNA of a conqueror that cannot be brought down by strife, cannot be brought down by criticism, cannot be brought down by humiliation. It can't even be brought down by sin. It can't be brought down by death, praise God. You are more than an overcomer because you have a brand new DNA. And people say, why are you singing? Oh, I just like to sing the Lord's song in a strange land. I like to sing the Lord's song in a strange place. I like to sing the Lord's song at a strange time because I know the Lord hath made a way where there is no way. And I know the Lord is with me, so it don't matter how many demons are against me. Praise God. This looks like a defeat, but hang around. Don't go to the lobby. Watch the end of the movie because, praise God, I'm going to come out a champion because the Lord is on my side. Can somebody give God some praise? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I found out that if I can keep my joy, that it doesn't always take very long for the Lord to turn it around. Pastor Brandon and I were doing some business this week, and it was a pretty good little deal, about $360,000, and it suddenly went south. And we were just talking. I said, I've learned this. If you'll just hold your peace, if you'll just stay calm, the Lord has a way of turning around. About 4 or 5 hours later, he said, the woman said, yes, it's going to work. It looked terrible 5 hours before, but we didn't get mad at one another. We didn't curse God. We didn't even attack the devil. We just said, we know the Lord has a way. This will turn out all right. And 5 hours later, God turned it around. There's somebody here today. You got some bad news today. It's not 10 hours old. But I promise you, if you just get your bucket out and start drawing water out of the well of salvation, by the time you get up in the morning, things are going to be turned around. That person that told you it was impossible are going to say, well, I changed my mind. That situation that seemed like it just couldn't work is suddenly going to work out. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Let the weak say, I am strong. How do you do that? By saying things that are filled with joy, by making positive comments, by making faith-filled confessions, by declaring the Word of God, by talking about the attributes of God. My God is able. My God's bigger than the trial. Nothing is impossible with my God. My God's using this for a testimony. My Lord's going to make a way for me. My Lord is going to stop their mouth. My Lord is going to give them a love for me. Oh, Michelle Frazier, that used to work for me, I'd go and weigh it to do business, and when I'd come back, she knew the circumstance. She said, I never saw a person where people want to please them more than they want to please you. It wasn't me. It was at the title company. I remember it was the first piece of property I ever closed on in this town. And there was a $6,000 problem. And when I went there, the guy said, no, you got to pay this $6,000. I said, I don't want to pay that. He said, you got to. He said, there's one guy, and he was out here on 410 at Stewart Title at Cherry Ridge and 410. He said, there's one guy in San Antonio that can waive that $6,000. But he said, I've been working for Stewart Title, and he's never waived it. I said, give me his name and address. I drove down there and stood in front of him and explained my situation. He made a little note on this page, and he said, give this to Bernie. That was the closer. He said, give this to Bernie. I went back and handed it to Bernie. He said, you just make yourself $6,000, son. I was 20-some years of age then. And when I came back, praise God, I said, oh, the Lord has turned it around. You can't get mad. You can't fuss. You can't cuss. You can't punch him in the nose. You got to say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The Lord brought me into this lion den so I'll know how to handle lions all of my life. after he got out of that lion's den, he never had a problem with lions again. He put them in the fiery furnace. He didn't put the fire out. He put the fourth man in the furnace with them. Oh, you say, I'm going through this. Oh, but you're going to be an expert on how to go through that. From now on, trials that will take other people out. You say, this is no hill for a climber. I've been here before. I've done this before. The Lord has always helped me. Praise God. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to back off and throw a Holy Ghost fit. I'm just going to praise the Lord from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, because I got the joy of salvation, and I'm going to draw the water out of that well and see what the Lord will do. Hey, the Lord loves to do miracles more than you love to receive them. Give the Lord a chance. Give the Lord a chance. He can't bless you when you're fussing. He can't bless you when you're cussing. He can't bless you when you're punching him in the nose. But praise God, if you'll just lift a hallelujah. Just lift a hallelujah in the midst of hell. Just lift your hallelujah and say, I know the Lord is my strength, and I'm going to give God some praise. I've got the joy of the Lord, and you can't put this fire out of me. Praise God, for I know where the Lord brought me from. He didn't bring me this far to drop me here. He's going to take me all the way. There's not a bridge he can't cross. There's not a mountain he can't take me over. There's not a valley he can't take me through. There's not a trial I can't conquer. Hey, somebody give the Lord praise today. There ought to be somebody in this building right now that you know what I'm talking about and say, I've been through hell this week around Christmas season. You ought to get your bucket of joy out and begin to praise God right now, sitting there in that pew, standing in that aisle, and say, I just got to praise God. Preacher, you'll have to preach later, because I'm going to praise now. I'm going to be an obstacle. I'm going to interrupt this service, because praise God, I'm going to praise God until the joy of the Lord turns this thing around, in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody give God praise. Somebody give God praise. Somebody that's had a bad Christmas holiday so far, outpraise everybody in this building. Somebody that's been mistreated in the last 10 days, give the Lord a shout of triumph. Somebody that the mail brought you bad news, I want you to begin to clap your hands for the Lord. Somebody that got a bad text or a bad phone call or a bad letter, I want you to begin to glorify the Lord and say, hey, I want to tell you one thing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. God loves people that will manifest his joy, and God will do things for them that he can't do for anybody else. Hallelujah. Anybody got a joy worth a relationship? Anybody got a joy that's worth a healing? Anybody got a joy that's worth a paycheck? Anybody got a joy that's an open door? Anybody got a joy that's an overcomer? Let the joy of the Lord be your strength tonight. Hey, you belong to the Lord. He knows you by name. He's numbered the hairs of your head. He knows all about you, and he's on your side. He said, if you'll let me, I will defeat your enemy, and I'll bring you through like a shining example of what my glory is all about. Give God some praise in this house. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost all over me. Oh, Sister Jean, praise God. God wants to take every pain out of your hand. He wants to take every pain out of your hand. In fact, the Lord wants to take every pain out of this auditorium. If you've got pain in your body tonight, you need to begin to glorify the Lord and rejoice in the Lord. Do something that's difficult for you to do. If you've got a bad back, you need to move around your back a little bit. If you've got something in your knees that's pain, you need to begin to move your knees a while. If your hands are a little arthritic, begin to clap your hands for Jesus. If you've got a sore throat, begin to say, hallelujah, hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is overcoming me. I feel the joy in my feet. I feel the joy in my hands. I feel the joy in my eyes. I feel the joy in my mouth. I feel the joy of the Lord. Hey, give me some room now. Give me some room. I got to manifest the joy of the Lord. I got to stomp. I got to clap. I got to dance. I got to run. I got to jump. I got the joy. I got the joy. Just like a river. Woo! Oh, give God some praise in this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shiko sotolo bohoyaha. Roma makohoyaha. God's healing somebody right now. Right now. Somebody came in this building with pain, but the Lord is healing your body right now. He wants you to get out in the aisle and just begin to flex your body. Oh, he wants you to give him the activity of your limbs. Just begin to move around in a way that you're not used to moving around, in a way that's restricted, in a way that's painful. Just begin to move in the Lord. In him I live. Hey, you're alive. He said, in him I live, in him I move. Begin to move in the Lord. Begin to move in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. You're saved. You're saved. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And with joy, I will draw water out of the wells of salvation. And praise God, that well won't never run dry. Friend, if you're not getting any water, it's not because the well's dry. It's because you've discarded the bucket. You need to go find that bucket somewhere. You need to go find that bucket and begin to let it down in that well of salvation. Sometimes you just got to make this old flesh do what it doesn't want to do. Sometimes your flesh wants to mope. It wants to complain. Oh, the worst thing at all. Your flesh wants sympathy. I just want somebody to sympathize with me. Friend, Jesus said, I know what sympathy is. He said, I know the feeling of your infirmity. If you want somebody to be with you, don't look for your friend that's sympathizing with you that's got the same problem. Because if they got the same problem you've got, it's obvious they can't help you out of your problem. They've already got the same one. They're in the same situation you're in. You need to go to the one that don't have no problems. Jesus defeated every problem. He conquered every disease. He conquered every problem. You need to go back to that well with the joy of your salvation and begin to let that bucket go down. Bring it up. Praise God. When you get it filled up, dump it over your head. Let it go back down again, over and over and over and over again until you say, suddenly things look different. Suddenly I've changed my mind. I don't feel like I used to feel. What happened? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. One of the devil's big weapons is feeling, just making you feel. I just feel so discouraged. Yeah, that's what the devil wants. I just feel like I'm not going to be able to overcome. That's what the devil wants. But friend, I promise you that the joy of the Lord can change all of that. I love what the Lord said in Psalms 45 and 7. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed we thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Everybody ain't going to do this. He said he will anoint you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. They said, oh, I need the anointing. I'll tell you where the anointing starts. It starts with the oil of gladness. It starts with joy. Same situation happened to two people. And they just give up and quit and bemoan the situation. And the other person says, I think I'll just praise the Lord. Paul and Silas wasn't the first characters in jail, but they were the first ones to sing and praise God at the midnight hour. And the joy of the Lord shook that old prison. Friend, I promise you tonight, if you wouldn't look and act like your fellas, God wouldn't treat you like your fellas. He would anoint you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Suddenly what's affecting other people don't affect you. What's taking other people out doesn't even take you down. Suddenly things that are totally terminating other people's life and lifestyle just doesn't affect you because you've got the oil of gladness. You've got the joy of the Lord. And the Bible said he anoints you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Said, oh, I just wish everybody would get saved. That's not going to happen. Read the Bible. I wish everybody could have what I have. That's not going to happen. Read the Bible. I'm not comparing myself by them. I'm saying, praise God, I've got the joy of the Lord. And because of that, God's going to anoint me with the oil of gladness. I'm not going to be as good as somebody else. I'm going to get gooder than they are. I'm going to get better than they get. Because the Lord is just looking for somebody with the joy of the Lord to draw water out of the wells of salvation. God wants you to develop such trust and faith in Him that circumstance did not control your behavior. But you say it does not matter what the circumstance are. I know that my God will never leave me. He will never forsake me. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Praise God. Not only that, not only will the Lord give you joy, but listen to what He said about this. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Therefore, my dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. Labor with me in the gospel. Friend, I'm going to tell you, when you begin to labor in the Lord, you can expect that the Lord will not only give you joy. He said rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. He'll give you a double dose of joy. Friend, there ain't nothing like having a double dose of joy. I'm talking about that joy that people can't understand. I'm talking about that joy that cannot be defined. I'm talking about that joy that doesn't make any sense. And they say, don't you realize what happened in your life? I understand, but it doesn't make any difference because I am in the labor of the Lord, and the Lord is going to give me double joy. He's going to give me joy that the fleshly mind cannot comprehend. He's going to give me joy that does not even equate or make any sense to those that are not filled with the joy of salvation. But the Lord is going to overflow me. When the Lord gives you double joy, that means He fills you up and then He runs you over. Friend, God is able to do that, and He will do it in your life. But you've got to make a choice. Is your faith going to be in the circumstance, in man, or in the world? Or is your faith going to be in the Lord God Almighty? I am convinced that the Lord is on my side. I'm convinced that I see the Lord fighting battles for me every day. But He fights more battles that I don't even know anything about. I am convinced that there are demons that are battered and bruised every day in my behalf that I don't even encounter because the Lord ambushes them before they ever get to me and assigns angels in their place. Why shouldn't I be happy? Paul said, I think myself happy. Friend, we need to declare the Lord is greater. And so my joy cannot be revoked. My joy can't be stolen. My joy cannot be tempered. My joy cannot dissipate. My joy is a factor in my life that will not change. And remember, if the devil cannot steal your joy, the devil can't take your goods. Somebody wrote me that on an email the other day that lives in another city. It's been 20 years since they've been to Living Way, but they said that changed my life when they said, if you can get it in your spirit, you can hold it in your hand. I don't know what the devil's trying to do to you tonight, but I will tell you this, that if you will just let that joy begin to bubble just a little bit, you'll just let that joy begin to manifest. The devil will get nervous, and he'll try to get you to be uncomfortable. He'll try to get you to be embarrassed. You know, the devil will do anything to keep you from manifesting joy. He'll try to give you a pain. He'll try to embarrass you. He'll try to criticize you. But you say, hey, nothing is going to embarrass me or humiliate me or keep me from manifesting my joy. I'm going to praise my God because He is worthy of praise. I'm going to exalt God because He is my Creator. I'm going to sing to the Lord because He is my Savior. I'm going to give God the glory because He is my Provider. And so if you don't mind, I'm just going to let the joy of the Lord flow. And no matter what the devil is trying to do to you, suddenly it turns out to be a little fizzle instead of a flood. It won't even be a rainstorm. It'll just be a little fizzle. Because praise God, when you begin to manifest the joy of the Lord, God shows up in a big way. If the Lord inhabits the praise of his people, he manifests in the joy of the people of God. When you are happy with the Lord wants you to be happy in him. Oh, Lord, I am so happy with you. Look what the Lord has done. Look how far the Lord has brought me. Look what I've got now that I didn't have. Look at the things that the Lord is performing in my life. Look at me compared to my fellows, my brothers, my sisters, my cousins, my siblings. What has happened? The Lord has exalted me above my fellows, and I know how I got here. I'm like the turtle sitting on the fence post. I didn't get here by myself. The Lord has brought me to where I am. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to glorify the Lord. What he can be glorified. I'm going to manifest the joy of the Lord and say, hey, but I'm glad. I'm glad what the Lord has done in my life. He saved me. He sanctified me. He filled me with the Holy Spirit. He revealed his plan to me. He put his word in my heart. And praise God, like David said, he loadeth his benefits on me daily. How can I do anything else but be happy? I got to be happy in the Lord. I've got to express that happiness. I got to take that word joy and say, this is a big word in God's lexicon. God says this is important. I want you to be filled with joy. And so you got to find ways to express your joy. The Bible gives us ways, but he wants us to sing a new song. God wants us to find ways to manifest our joy that nobody else has ever done before. That's the reason why we clap our hands, is because we're filled with joy. That's the reason why we shout, we're filled with joy. That's the reason why we stand and applaud, we're filled with joy. That's the reason why the redeemed say so, is because they're filled with the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, the Lord is not only interested in your actions and your behavior. He's very concerned in the attitude in which you do it. I've seen a lot of folks that did the right thing with the wrong attitude and don't get the results they expected. You not only got to do the right thing, you got to do it with the right attitude. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they may bring me an offering. He said that they may. They have my permission to bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take of them, gold and silver and brass. He said, but only those that are willing. Can I hurt somebody's feelings really bad? And say, you can write a check and drop it in an offering bucket and not get what you expect in return because you had no joy of giving. The Lord wants us to have a joy in giving. It's the reason why we don't have any mechanism in this church to make you give. We don't withdraw your membership. We don't let you sit in the front row if you give more, in the back row if you give nothing. We have no mechanism to make you do it. Because even if we made you do it, it would not bring about that exalting the Lord wants to do of you. He only does that when you have joy. There are 38 times in the Bible where the Lord talks about willingness or joy of giving. 38 times the Lord talks about it. He said, then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly in 1 Chronicles 29 and 9. That's the reason why we give you the opportunity to stand when we say we're going to have an offering, and some of you still shout. Some of you actually clap. You say, I don't think that's necessary. It might not be necessary to stand, and it might not be necessary to clap, and it might not necessary to be to give a shout when you give an offering, but it's absolutely, positively essential that you have the joy of giving to get back the return that you expect. Hallelujah! I give unto the Lord. Well, I got to go to church. Not me, I get to go to church. Well, I got to give any offering. No, I don't got to, I get to. Friend, do you know that in the book of Hebrews that the Jews were prohibiting the Gentiles from tithing until Paul straightened it out? Do you realize in the book of Acts that the Jews were preventing the Gentiles from getting baptized in water till Peter straightened it out? These were people that were wanting to do something, and the Jews in the church wouldn't let them. But the Lord said, oh, this is a privilege. And I know that some people think it's a duty. And it's a joke in the world about having to go to church and having to go to mass. And they complain and they just talk about it like it's some kind of a sentence that has been placed on them. Friend, let me tell you, there's absolutely no reward in that. He said, when you come into God's courts and in His gates, come in with praise and thanksgiving. You ought to just be happy. I'm so glad that they'll let me sit in this church and clap my hands. Can you believe that I'm here preaching to you and I worship the Lord and I don't have any timing and nobody throws me out? I can't carry a tune and I sing and nobody throws me out. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that this is just a free-for-all? Come like you are, because the Lord has done a great work in your life, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you come out here on a Wednesday night, nobody expects you to be here. Do you realize how few people in the city of San Antonio, with almost 2 million people in the area? You realize how few people are in church on Wednesday night? Just a handful. Just those people that are filled with the joy of the Lord. But friend, if you're here Wednesday after Wednesday, the only thing that would motivate you to be here is the joy of the Lord. I don't have that kind of power over you. There's no kind of religious sheriff that's going to show up in your house with a warrant and said you got to come to the house of God. The only thing that got your tarred body out of a recliner and brought you to the house of God, the only thing that shakes you out of bed on Sunday morning, your joy said, whoa, I just can't lay here. Why? Because I feel so good about the Lord. I just, whoa, and he said, I got joy when they said, it's church night. It's church night. I just love the Lord's house. I love the Lord's people. I love the Lord. I love worship. I love praise. I love to, oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Praise God. I just pray to God in this end time harvest. I'm just praying this, that the building will get so filled that Pastor Brandon will say, we got to add a service. We got to add for another service until 7 nights a week. Praise God. We've got different people preaching. Pastor Brandon says, I'm just too tired. I preached 3 nights this week already. Pastor Steve, can you do something? What about you, Pastor Mike? And we just have church 7 nights a week. Why? Because I ain't never as happy as I am when I'm with God's people in the house of the living God. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's a heavenly place to me. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's nothing like sitting on that front seat and watching Pastor Brandon preach after the concert or after the production on Sunday, and then watching these elders just line up around here as far as they could with people and seeing them give their life to Christ and seeing them get baptized. I said, oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I get joy when I come across that hill and see this big old building here. I get joy when I walk out here on Sunday and see a lot of people. But praise God, you don't understand the joy of my expectation. It's good, but it's going to get better. It's big, but it's going to get better. The kingdom of the Lord is going to grow, praise God. The kingdom of the Lord is going to get bigger. Upon His shoulders, the government of the Lord rests, and it cannot fail. Oh, I tell you, the joy of the Lord is my strength. CNN can't affect me. Fox can't put my fire out. My fire is in my bones. Praise God, and it can't be put out. I got the joy of the Lord. And I hear the Lord saying, that's what I like to talk about. It's one of the big words in my lexicon. The joy, the joy. Get happy, Steve. Get happy, praise God. Nothing ahead of you but victory. Nothing ahead of you but joy. Nothing ahead of you but power. Praise God, you're going to have a harvest. You're You're going to have signs. You're going to have miracles. You're going to have wonders. You're going to see thousands of people saved. And then one day I'm going to call you home, and you're going to walk down the streets of gold, and you're going to shake hands. Praise God. There's Brother Willie there. There's Brother Leslie. There's Brother Jesse Duplantis. Praise God. I tell you, I'm pretty happy about being a Christian. I'm pretty happy about being filled with the joy of the Lord. That's the reason why I live for God. It's because of the motivation of His joy. Will you leap up on your feet, lift your hands as high as you can, and let the Lord know that the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you're in this building right now, y'all don't understand. Some of you don't have a clue about warfare. Warfare is not you against the devil. Warfare is about you for the Lord. It's not you against the devil. The Lord is against the devil. If you want warfare, you don't attack the devil. You praise the Lord. And you think, we had some folks here that might be here tonight that had been here the last two Wednesday nights. And she said, man, you're on fire. We came in here and thought it was going to be a little Bible study. You're on fire. Oh, you think I'm on fire now. You ought to see me in my horse barn. You ought to see me in my pickup truck. You ought to see me out there just walking in the pasture among the cows. If you think I'm foolish for the Lord here, when I got no wet blankets, and I got no doubting Thomases, and I got no frozen chosen that want to criticize emotion, you ought to see me. Oh, the joy of the Lord just spills over. Sometimes I'll just wave my hands and praise the Lord. I've been known just to fall out in the grass in the pasture and just lay there praising God. Why, are you crazy? Oh, I suppose so. But it's just joy unspeakable. It's something I can't put in words. It's something I can't articulate. It's something I can't explain. It's the joy of the Lord. It's a supernatural infusion. And when the devil comes in like a flood, I don't try to raise up a dam. I'm not that good a dam builder. The Bible said the Spirit of the Lord will raise the standard. So my job is not to stop the flood. My job is to manifest the joy of the Lord. And He builds the dam. He raises the standard. And so what I'm saying here tonight is somebody has really been attacked by the devil, and you're trying to fight him back. But our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. What goes through God? Praise goes through God. When you begin to worship the Lord with the joy, it goes through God. It comes out the other side of God, and it's just slapping the devil just like that. He don't know what hit him, praise God. So if you've been under attack for the devil in the month of December, I challenge you just to make a fool of yourself for Christ and to get out of that pew. Don't wait till you hit this altar. Just begin to wiggle and wobble and praise in God and throwing your head back and clapping your hands and shouting your praise all the way down that aisle. And praise God, just begin to manifest the joy of the Lord. And I promise you, tomorrow you can go back and look at the carcass of your enemy and say, look what the Lord did to my enemy. Look what the Lord did while I slept. Look what the Lord did while I slept. I'm through.